By the time I was 3, I had learned to fear the dark. That was when Pa came home smelling of sharp, unpleasant odors and vented his day's worth of rage on us. By 5, I'd accepted that no amount of pleading or tears would stay an angry hand. At 7, the creak of my father's footfall on the rotting boards of our ramshackle house still made me shake. But that wasn't what roused me from sleep on a blustery spring night. Somewhere in my dreams, I thought I heard my name being called. I woke, not fully aware of where I was, but knowing something was not right. The air, while tinged with the ashy scent of a banked coal fire and the sourness of unwashed hair and sweaty bodies, held another, heavier odor. Wood smoke. Acrid traces tingled in my nose, tickling my throat. The house was on fire. I leaped from my bed and slid in my stocking feet on the wooden floor as I hurriedly woke my siblings. "Wake up, all of you, wake up!" My cries were enough to rouse my elder brother and sister, but the younger one slept on. I picked up Tenny and handed her to Polly. "Maldron, take Utica and get outside, all of you. I'll find Ma." I rushed into my parents' tiny bedroom, expecting to find her asleep, but the room was empty, bed covers askew. "Oh, Ma, this is not the time for one of your nocturnal vigils," I said to myself, as I slipped into my shoes and threw a ratty cloak over my shoulders. I barely heard the rattle of the loose porch stairs as I bounded down them toward the orchard behind our house. There, amid blooming apple trees, nearly bent double by the howling wind, was my mother, arms raised in prayer, face turned toward heaven, swaying to and fro like a charmed snake and muttering her prayers to God. As I drew closer, I could make out her ecstatic chanting, "Glory, glory, Jesus, Jesus, save us from our sins. Save this bedeviled town. Glory, glory, Jesus, Jesus." The last time I interrupted her prayer, Ma had beat me so badly my eyes were blackened for a week. But surely she would understand when our home was in danger, wouldn't she? Hesitantly, I approached her, as fearful as though I sought to tame a wolf. Her eyes were open, but they were glassy, seeing things visible only to her blessed inner eye. As gently as I could, I laid a hand on her arm. She didn't respond or look my way, but continued to chant and sway. I shook her slightly. "Ma, it's Victoria. I need you to come back to me. Please, Ma, it's important." A second shake got through to her. She lowered her head, eyes turning hard as flint, and smacked me across the cheek. "Haven't I told you not to bother me when I'm talking to the spirits? Now you're gone and scared 'em off." She shook her head, her expression making her disappointment clear. "Ma, I had to. The house is on fire." I turned, pointing back at the little one-story wooden shack, expecting to see orange flames shooting from the windows, or the whole thing smothered in a veil of black smoke. But there was nothing. The house sat as still as any other night, taking the licks the wind dealt it with the stoicism of a bare-knuckle boxer. I couldn't understand. I knew I'd smelled smoke. I looked at my mother, eyes imploring her to believe I was telling the truth. She huffed. "Huh, fire, huh?" She pinched my ear so quickly I didn't have a chance to defend myself. "I'll teach you not to tell lies." She dragged me back toward the house, pausing only when Maldron came running toward us. "Fire brigade is coming this way." He pointed down Main Street, where in the distance the team of horses was crossing the town's only intersection, wagon rumbling like thunder. "Tenny says it's not the house, but the mill that's afire." At the mention of my clairvoyant younger sister, Ma's face crumpled. "Tenny's never wrong in her seeings. Oh, Lord in heaven, that mill was going to be our nest egg. Now what will we do?" she wailed loudly. I supported her right shoulder while Maldron took her other, and the rest of the family joined us in solemn procession to a bridge that overlooked the mill, which was not far from the house.